Hello and welcome to the Climate Diplomacy Podcast. I'm your host, Martin Wall. The United Nations Security Council has traditionally been concerned with issues of geopolitics, war and peace. But with droughts, flooding and unpredictable weather patterns becoming more and more an issue in international security debates, is it time the UN Security Council started to pay attention to climate change? The UN Secretary General, Antonio Guterres, certainly seems to think so.
Climate change is a direct threat in itself, but a multiplier of many other threats, from poverty to displacement to conflict. And the effects of climate change are already being felt around the world, and they are dangerous, and they are accelerating.
I spoke with Chatham House Associate Fellow Ollie Brown to find out what he thinks the UN Security Council's role should be. Hello and welcome, Ollie. The UN Security Council was set up at the end of the Second World War. It was generally shaped in that context, but since the end of the Cold War, it's taken on new roles. How do you see the development of the UN Security Council over that period?
That's a really good question. I mean, the UN Security Council is, I guess, one of the primary mechanisms of the UN, which is to maintain international peace and security. And there's lots that's been written and lots that's been said around this, but it's effectively authorising the legal use of power or of various coercive mechanisms. And I mean, the arc of the history of the UN Security Council is that since the creation of the UN at the end of the Second World War, and the sort of embedding of the victorious parties in the Second World War as the permanent five members of the UN Security Council, for long periods, the Security Council has really been unable to take on issues that are of core strategic interest of the permanent members because they veto it. And so either vetoing it actually in the council or stopping things ever getting discussed. So as I'm sure everybody's familiar, you have five permanent members and then 10 rotating members who come in for periods of two years a time and then are voted on by other member states. And so on the one hand, it's a key mechanism for the international community to decide what is a legal use of force or not. But on the other hand, it's got kind of caught up in this big power politics.
So given that background, in the last 10 or so years, there's been efforts to bring climate change into the UN Security Council. Can you just tell us some of the background and some of the efforts that have been made to do that to date?
Yeah, so I think over the last sort of 20, 25 years, we've seen this expansion of the idea of what constitutes security. Really importantly, in the 90s, this idea of human security, that actually we're moving from the unit of security being about states and borders and defending your resources to actually being about individuals and what keeps individuals secure and safe. And the idea that then actually part of that security is around development and opportunities and so on. So over time, the UN Security Council has been thinking about how to kind of expand that definition. And there's been lots of discussion and debate around what is within the mandate of the UN Security Council. You have to remember that it's around states. It's made up of states. And so their default and their kind of frame of reference is always going to be around state security. But we've seen some interesting sort of developments over the last 10 years where different issues have been included in various resolutions and discussions. So HIV, AIDS was included as an issue, was recognised as an issue of global security concern. The Ebola crisis in West Africa was similarly recognised. And then there's been long-running effort to think about what is the role of environmental change, particularly climate change, as a kind of security issue. And so various member states have brought this issue to the Security Council. And it's been a sort of slow process, I would say, over the last, 11 years, since 2007, where there's been a kind of steady increase in the recognition that actually climate change is something that is affecting the entire world in very significant and somewhat unpredictable ways. Could have a real impact on international peace and security. So there's been various discussions brought by Britain in 2007 and Germany in 2011, Sweden, about what this means for international peace and security.
And could you explain some of the cases that they make for the inclusion of climate change in the Security Council? How does climate change relate to security?
The basic argument, as I see it, is that we're talking about a planetary change to the environment in which we all live. And what that does is that redraws maps of the entire world in very significant ways, potentially, particularly under very high warming scenarios. So this potentially has impacts across the entire world. So, you know, sea level rise that potentially completely wipes out low-lying states. And you have this completely unprecedented situation of what would you have if you had a country that was still a country but ceased to exist in a physical thing. So for some of the small island Pacific states, that's the most existential of crises they face. But then also sea level rise, for example, that takes out areas on which your exclusive economic zone is based, again, could have major issues for ramifications between countries' relationship over their maritime borders in the South China Sea and so on. But then you also have issues around where does rain fall, where it is likely to be affected by droughts, by extreme weather events. So you sort of see this pattern under the varying scenarios of climate change where countries are going to be dealing with changes to their resources and a whole series of external shocks in the form of droughts or hurricanes and whatever that can be extremely difficult to deal with. And those, particularly in places that are already affected by conflict or where you have high degrees of tension and perhaps not the most effective ways of resolving disputes, it's quite easy to see how those things could trigger wider conflict.
What added value could bringing this topic up in the UN Security Council give? They have a limited set of actions they can take, sanctions, peace building programs, but climate change is such a pervasive problem, then it doesn't quite fit into conflict evenly. So what can it do in terms of climate change? Will it just broaden the scope of the UN Security Council's ability to get involved in a crisis without actually adding much benefit?
Yeah, and that's one of the criticisms, that's one of the concerns, that by broadening the mandate of the Security Council to everything, then it is unable to do anything. And if you think about the history of the UN Security Council, it was designed originally with a view to developing coercive measures, either military or non-military, ways of pressuring countries not to invade or take over land or act in ways that were against international law. What can the Security Council do is that they are ultimately the group that decides on international peace and security. So the first thing they can do is they can recognize that climate change is a potential threat to a whole variety of security issues. The Security Council is not going to be dealing with the causes of climate change itself. It's not necessarily going to be mandating that we should all, you know, use energy differently or travel in different ways or anything else like that. But they do have a mandate to understand and respond to international threats to peace and security, or threats to international peace and security, I should say. And if climate change plays a part in that, then it's really important that that's within their horizon and that's what they're looking at.
So what are the challenges for countries like Britain, Germany, Sweden in getting this narrative through the UN system and not been blocked by some of those countries who do not feel it should be part of the Security Council mandate?
So there's lots of disagreement within the UN Security Council about what should be the boundaries of the UN Security Council's work. And those have been extensively discussed and talked about. And there's basically, I mean, to be very simplistic about it, there are those that think there should be a very narrow mandate around the kind of traditional state-on-state actions, and those who take a much broader view. Now, historically, countries like Britain, France, Germany, Sweden, when it was a member of the Security Council, were very keen to think about this, a broader view of security, linking into this idea of human security, about what actually makes people safe and secure themselves. The challenges are many to getting it recognised on the Security Council. One is that the Security Council is just one entity. It has an extremely busy agenda. It has to sign off on, it negotiates and agrees on the mandates for all of the peacekeeping missions, all of the many of the peace and diplomacy missions that go on. It has a very packed agenda. So there's suddenly a kind of a resistance to adding to already a pretty busy kind of work plan that they have. And then there's also this concern by some of the permanent members and many of the non-permanent members that the Security Council shouldn't be extending into this area. This is in getting involved in issues of national sovereignty. That this is one of the big discussions around multilateralism. To what extent should multilateral processes impinge on individual countries' ability to do what they want to do? And from countries outside the Security Council, particularly they see the Security Council as a legacy of the Second World War that's 70 years out of date, that has great power politics built into it that may not be appropriate now in the modern world, and that it's some sort of form of neo-colonialism for the great powers.
If you want to put democracy or spread democracy around the world, you start by spreading democracy at the global institutions that manage the world, would be the argument.
Exactly. And this concern that the permanent members are not necessarily always in the interests of the wider world population, but they're actually pursuing their own national interests, which. We've certainly seen it various times.
Mm-hmm. So what would you think the prospects are for climate change as an issue that the Security Council can go forward with?
So I think we've seen a real change in the last couple of years. I mean, I think the idea that climate change is an issue that the Security Council should be talking about has really come on in the last 10 years. When Britain back in 2007 brought this what's called an ARIA formula debate, which is a non-binding, very open debate around climate change and security, and a similar one in 2011, that we've seen a sort of steady growth in the political space within the Security Council to talk about climate change as a security issue. I think that's been really significant. Over the last year or so even, you've seen the inclusion of language, of mentions of climate change in some of the day-to-day work of the Security Council, reaffirming peacekeeping mandates in Somalia, a resolution on Lake Chad. And that is starting to get just a recognition that this is an important issue, not just in a sort of, a one-off debate, but actually into functional language of the Security Council. So there's a political space has been created as a kind of an additional issue that the Security Council looks at. The question is whether it sort of stays like that and just bumps along as a kind of nice to have, not need to have kind of issue, or whether it becomes more central. And I guess this is what Germany is really keen to do in its time and the Security Council starting in January 2019. And one way that might happen is to have some kind of resolution around climate change as a standalone resolution. And there's been similar resolutions in the past on standalone issues, women, peace and security. Resolution 1325 is a very famous resolution on the role of sexual and gender-based violence in war and how to combat that. Something like that could really help to bring the issue into the center of the Security Council's agenda and its discourse. And actually where it really matters is what then happens as a result in terms of the authorizations that Security Council gives.
Thanks a million, Ali.
Very welcome.
That was the Climate Diplomacy Podcast with Chatham House Associate Fellow Ali Brown. For more information on climate diplomacy, go to the Climate Diplomacy website, climate-diplomacy.org. This podcast has been made possible by the Irish Research Council and the European Commission through their Caroline Fellowship. The sound clip used in the introduction is from UN Web TV. I've been your host, Martin Wall. Until next time.